We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and the radio.com app. Willie P. in for John Chuckery on this Monday evening. Glad you're with us here. We're going to talk to a man who's talked to both of the new quarterbacks for the Georgia Bulldogs, the former UGA and Falcons quarterback, DJ Shockley. Also, you see him on the SEC Network as a game analyst, a good friend of the program. He'll join us to talk not only dogs, but what this time is like for a lot of these players who are in college and kind of going through the social distancing situation. And, you know, this is probably as tough as anything these young men are going to have to go through their entire lives. And it's not just them. It's all of us when it comes to the type of restraint. I know that I had kind of planned out this weekend in a way, because as you may or may not know, we'll be getting some more work over the course of the next couple of weeks as vacation relief. So this past weekend was kind of like the little last, I don't want to say last hurrah, but it was kind of the last weekend I could really have a lot of tomfoolery type fun over the course of the next couple of weeks, because I'll be doing a lot of work. And here's the problem. Like, there's still so much unknown, and I was even getting in an argument with a buddy of mine about this a couple hours ago. There's still so much we don't know about this virus. And, you know, people are talking about their civil liberties and stuff like that being infringed by having to wear masks. And you see the spike, you know, another state just closed down bars. I know that our governor just came out and put out another extension on the guidelines that were supposed to expire at the end of June. Now they're going to go all the way until August. And it's just like, you know, for someone like me, you know, I joked on the show Friday that, you know, I had plans to go get beers with Longshoe at Tucker Brewery. They were releasing a brand new beer up there. Yeah, we didn't make it. And it's no offense to the folks up there. They're doing a fantastic job when it comes to the social distancing and all the stuff. They're wearing masks. We've been up there a couple of times, actually. But, you know, as far as things go right now, it's like I kind of feel shackled, because the last thing that I want to have happen is, number one, have to get into my car and have somebody stick a, you know, stick a long Q-tip down my nose to take a COVID test. Very bad. Very bad. you choked. Did I just gross you out, Jarvis? Did I gross you out? I'm sorry. But I'm just saying, like, I'm not even afraid of, that's the thing, I'm not even afraid of the actual disease. I'm more afraid of the test than I am the disease. Does that make me a bad person? Not that I'm not afraid of the disease. I think, you know, we all have a tepid and aware fear about what things are, you know, the way that science can metastasize and all those kind of things. So, again, I'm not trying to speak ill of that. And, again, I know more people have gotten, like, I've probably got 24 friends, of course, over the course of a lot of different places, including here in Georgia, who've gotten it. None of them I've seen in person, but, like, at the same time, they're all like, yeah, it's the real hotness. It's no picnic. Like, I got a dude who's a former coworker of mine who can't breathe, can't sleep, can't eat, can't taste, can't smell. And he did everything right. He was washing his hands like a maniac. He had a mask on and whatnot. So, like that's why people are, you know, I know people want to be truthers about this thing, but, like, there's a reason why people are getting all uppity about these certain things, because at the end of the day, nobody wants this thing. So, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. I had all these plans this weekend, and literally, I did not leave my building. I went upstairs, lay out by the pool. I had my to heck with you face on, to anybody who came within 5 feet of me. I was like, you best not be sitting in that chair. And, you know, that's kind of where my head's at. But I know other people, you know, they want to do their thing, and I'm going to applaud you for having a lot more bravery than me. But that is exactly what you have, a lot more bravery than me. Let's do an NFL Ground and Pound. All right. We've talked a little bit about the on-the-field benefits as well as the on-the-field protocol when it comes to getting Cam on the field as a New England Patriot. But it was in their financial best interest to put a very incentive-laden deal. Here's ESPN's Adam Schefter.
When it gets to a point where you're talking about a contract that's going to pay him a couple of million dollars in base salary this year or so, and I don't know the exact figure, but it's not far from there, the Patriots figure it makes sense. They're paying Brian Hoyer $1 million. You pay Cam Newton roughly a couple of million dollars. You have Jarrett Stidham on a rookie deal. And so you're getting three quarterbacks for, let's just say, a sum total of about $5 or so million when the Dallas Cowboys just signed Dak Prescott to a franchise tender of $31.4 million.
There's something about being able to win when you do not have to, and I don't want to say overspend, but when you don't have to give your quarterback the money. And again, I'm not saying this to impugn our franchise because Matt Ryan is deserving of every penny and cent that he is getting from Arthur Blank and the Atlanta Falcons. But you think about some of these quarterbacks who have led teams to Super Bowls over the course of the last couple of years, their situations are not too dissimilar to where the Patriots were. I mean, the Chiefs are getting Patrick Mahomes at a discount. Tom Brady was taking discounts for years with the New England Patriots. He finally ended up getting their money, getting some money out of them over the last couple of years. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia as a backup. They weren't paying Carson Wentz much money outside of a rookie deal. These high-priced quarterbacks, it really does pay to have your salary cap be able to be spent on guys outside of the quarterback position. It's not to say the quarterback is not valuable. It's not to say the quarterback's not deserving of all the money. And when guys reset the market like Dak Prescott just did, it makes you wonder where the bubble is because, you know, when you're in a capped league like the NFL, there's going to be some sort of ceiling where you can't spend more than that percentage in order to actually field a competitive football team. So why would you give that quarterback all that money? Just food for thought. Meanwhile, I talked about the the juxtaposition of how funny this was. So about a half hour before the Patriots, or at least were rumored to have been signing Cam Newton, the story came out about the punishments involving Spygate 2.0, which involved the Patriots filming a game involving the Cincinnati Bengals. Basically, as an trying to do a story on an advanced scout, that was their alleged reasoning behind it. And the NFL didn't come down as hard as people thought that they were going to. I find it funny because it's like you expected. You know, this is like the NCAA trying to punish North Carolina or Duke. You really think it's going to happen? No. $1.1 million, as well as a third-round draft pick in next year's draft, that they're probably going to get back as a compensatory pick if Cam Newton walks. Schefty on the Patriots' punishment.
And the NFL just did its job by the evidence. It had no choice in this particular situation but to hand down the penalties it did against the Patriots on Sunday night. Third-round draft pick, $1.1 million in fines, and the Patriots' TV production crew can't videotape games in the upcoming season.
You best believe, even though the guy who's really pulling the strings back there behind the scenes is actually Bill Belichick's dog, Nike. You best believe he's figured out how to try to jerry-rig a Zoom camera somewhere in these stadiums while they're doing these practices. Or he's got somebody trying to tap somebody's Zoom meeting. There's one guy who's got it. It's got to be Bill Belichick, right? I say that sarcastically. Don't come after me, libel suit. Don't come after me. I'm just saying it in jest. To a former Patriot, drawing the ire of NFL Players Association head Demoris Smith, not exactly a popular guy in many circles, but he believes that the extra practices, the non-COVID-19 socially distance approved workouts for Tom Brady and others who are holding them are not in the best interest of the league.
Those practices are not in the best interest of player safety. They're not in the best interest of protecting our players heading into training camp. And I don't think they are in the best interest of us getting through an entire season.
Now, there is still a lot of trepidation when it comes to NFL officials on exactly, you know, whether or not things will start on time July 28th, whether there'll be a delay to the start of the season. D. Smith says a lot of that stuff is still under negotiation.
We are in the process of trying to negotiate. We have to negotiate with the league about what happens to a player if they test positive, you know, during the season. Does that player go on injured reserve? Do they go on short-term IR? If you test positive for the virus after training camp, is that a work-related injury? Are you covered under workers' comp? What benefits are available to you if you have downstream injuries from contacting COVID-19?
You know, we were talking about players that might have quote-unquote character issues, and people were saying that Cam Newton was somebody who had that kind of as part of him. Well, someone who actually has actual character issues, John Manziel, who last played with the Memphis Express in the Alliance of American Football in 2019, told the Lubbock Avalanche Journal, "My football career is probably in the past. I finally got to a point where I'm trying to achieve happiness in life, not happiness on the football field. I know a lot of people probably wanted me to come back and play and give it another chance, but I don't know. As far as being a person and figuring out life as a young adult, trying to make it and figure it out, if I've ever been in a better place than I've been in right now, I can honestly say I'm happy and doing the right things to try and put a smile on my face every day. And that means more to me than going out and grinding on the football field." That's a big, big word salad for nobody's going to give me a job in the NFL. I'm sorry. And here's the thing. Like, I told you about how everybody, when it comes to Cam, like, Cam's well-liked. Johnny Manziel is a jerk. And I've noticed it. I've been places where Johnny Manziel is, and he thinks he's something he isn't. He's got that Napoleon syndrome. And that's fine. If that's the way you want to live your life, that's okay. If you can actually back it up on the field in the National Football League, then you could, you know, you could try to close down a bar and not have people take photos of you all you want. But guess what, man? You're a public figure. This stuff happens. You know what? When you're failing out of the NFL, not exactly a good look by thinking that you can go in and just close everything down like that. But maybe he's found some peace. I've always kind of had a little stick up my you-know-what because of him. Because, I have personal dealings with him. Not exactly a fan. Good night and good luck to him. Passing away of basically somebody who revolutionized the coaching of the offensive line, and that's former Washington Redskins offensive line coach Joe Bugle, who was the guy who was the architect of the famed Hogs of the 1980s. He died over the weekend at the age of 80. They did not give a cause of death, but he spent 32 years in the NFL, largely, though, with the Washington Redskins, oversaw two Super Bowl teams for the Redskins in 82 and 87, also went back and served under Joe Gibbs in his second tenure with Washington in 04 through 09 before retiring. Very big offensive line that revolutionized kind of the way the running game was in the 80s. You had John Riggins. You had all those big hogs like, and again, they called them the Hogs. I mean, you had Mark May. You had Russ Grimm, Hall of Famers. Those guys are a big part of why that franchise was able to win three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks, because they had such a great infrastructure on the interior. That is your NFL ground and pound for week number, but that's we aren't in a week. Texter on the text line at 678 says that $100 million quarterback not necessary for a Super Bowl win. We overpaid Matt Ryan. Should have gave him a contract like Romo. Again, I don't know if any quarterback, again, this is kind of the fallacy of where the NFL is, and I don't know if it's going to come home to roost now, but you're seeing this kind of thing in baseball where the baseball owners pushed back on a lot of free agent deals that were given out because of past performance and not future performance. there's going to come a time where I think something similar happens in the NFL. And you're going to see the departure of these type of deals because coaches are going to say, we can win better with a cheaper price tag on the QB position. And again, I don't know if it's in the near future, but there's going to come a time, and it might happen because of coronavirus, because the one thing that's interesting about the way the cap numbers are going to look next year is that they're expecting some significant financial losses when it comes to the NFL, and there might have to be some givebacks with deferred money when it comes to the NFL and its QBs or the NFL and its players overall. But because of that, you might see a curbing of free agent spending. And when you see a curbing like that, they'll probably try to trim as much off the edges as possible, but it might have to come from the top. And of course, we all know the top is the QB position. 404-741-0929 is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. I'm on Twitter at Willie P Style. That's IEP Style. Coming up, George is sitting right now with some decisions to be made at quarterback. We don't know the ones that are being made by the offensive coordinator, brand new one. We'll try to go inside the huddle with DJ Shockley, former Georgia quarterback, when he joins me next. Willie P is in the building, in for John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, or wherever you might be listening via the radio.com app. Willie P in for John Chuckery on this Monday evening. Hope you're enjoying yourselves. It's been a while since we've had our next guest on. Had a chance to talk to him. DJ Shockley, former Georgia quarterback. You see him on the SEC Network. You see him on Bulldog Game Days. He's doing some stuff with the UGA Bulldog Club as well, talking to the quarterbacks. And he joins us now on 92.9 The Game on the waitforit.com hotline. Shock, long time no speak. How are you holding up with the Rona?
Well, man, good to hear from you, man. All is good, man. You know, the usual, trying to stay safe and stay out of the way a little bit. But family's good, everybody good. So good to hear from you, and hope you're good too, man.
I'm good. Let's dive right into it. The quarterback room from the time that the Georgia football season ended to now has been completely transformed. What do you make of just how much differently we're looking at that room than we were when we were done at the end of the last season?
I think when you look back at it and you wonder, first off, you were wondering, hey, is Jake Fromm going to come back? And I personally thought Fromm was going to be a four-year guy. I thought he would be there. I thought he would stay. So I was actually pretty surprised that he actually ended up leaving. But I also understood why he left as well, with all the young talent that's around and him having to go through growing pains of a new coordinator and still trying to, you know, bring in a new offensive line with some younger guys and still some younger receivers on the outside too. So I can understand that part of it and him wanting to move on. But when he does actually end up leaving, then you start looking at, okay, who's on the roster? And then, you know, automatically there has to be a transfer in there. It has to be somebody with some kind of experience, because coming in, really, you had Stetson Bennett who was there. And then obviously you bring in JT Daniels, who is huge. But Jamie Newman, I think, is going to be the key to that quarterback room. I think it's his job to lose. I think he's the guy who can easily be a first or second round guy with the talent that he'll have around him. This guy can throw it. He can sling it. He can run it. He's more athletic, and he's going to give this offense a different look than what Georgia has seen over the last few years. And I'm excited to see it. But having that depth in that QB room is big with JT Daniels coming in. You got still have some young talent with Carson Beck, the young kid coming in as a freshman. Still got Stetson Bennett. I mean, this is a loaded room. Duane Mathis, highly recruited guy, coming out as well. I mean, they got a lot of depth in that room, and I think it's only going to make the entire team better by having good QB play, not just at the starter, but second and third spots as well.
Former Georgia quarterback DJ Shockley, you've had a chance to talk to a couple of these guys, and I want to get your impressions on them individually in just a moment. But I think the $64,000 question on a lot of Georgia fans' minds is, you know, there's been this feeling that for some reason Kirby Smart has had the shackles on the Georgia offense over the course of the last couple of years. Of course, the insertion of Todd Monken as the offensive coordinator has many hopeful. How much do you think those shackles exist, and do you think that we will see a renewed scheme on offense from UGA?
Well, I think it's just the fact that when you think about Georgia offensively, you're thinking about them getting the I formation, being down here, being a big physical football team on that side of the ball, and you think about over the years, the backs they've had. I mean, it's kind of it's kind of an embarrassment of riches not to be able to turn around and hand it to all those back to Georgia recruits. And you want to give those guys all the touches. But as we've seen, to win that big game, that elusive national championship, you have to have some more versatility in your offense. And I think you bring it over Monken, who is he's quoted and stated himself, I am an air raid guy. I like to air it out. I like to throw it. And I think the fact that Kirby has been looking for an athletic quarterback, he wants to be able to push the football down the field. He wants to push it vertically. This offense will look a little different. But at the end of the day, this is still going to be an offense where he's recruited these offensive linemen. When they come in, they're all 6'4", 315 minimum, that they're going to want to roll grade as well. But he also wants to have the versatility to throw the football down the field. And I think they'll bring that to the offense this year. Then you bring in some of the zone reads and the RPO stuff, which Jamie Newman does really well. It's going to be fun to watch his offense this year. And I think those shackles this season will come off, because everything up to this point has been good, but it has not been good enough. And to be good enough to beat the Clemsons and Ohio States and the Alabamas and all those guys who have been doing it for the last 3, 4, 5, 6 years, they have a spread, open offense that likes to put a lot of pressure on their defense. I think Kirby understands that.
So you're telling me at 3rd and 2, when you have only you have 9 in the box, you're telling me sitting there, Kirby's going to sit there and blindfold his eyes, hold his nose, and say, hope to God we get the first down, we're going to throw it on 3rd and 2?
Nah, I think he'll have the versatility of knowing that we can do either or. And now, over the past few years, when you get into those situations, it's been downhill. But now you're going to have a guy who's 5-6 yards deep at times, and he can run it himself. He can go zone read. He can, hey, if you put 9 in the box and they bring those linebackers up and you get a quick slant behind it, I think he'll be happy with that as well. I think he wants to have that versatility in that offense. That's going to help him. So there's going to be times, yeah, where they're going to get in the eye and they're going to try to just roll grade you. But there's going to be other times where they surprise you and spread you out and see, hey, can you cover our guys outside? And now you got to worry about the QB running as well.
Talking to DJ Shockley here, college football analyst, former Georgia quarterback, former Falcon quarterback as well. He joins us on the waitforit.com hotline. Willie P in for John Chuckery here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What about Jamie Newman impresses you the most?
The good thing about Jamie is, you know, I had a chance to watch him the last couple of years. And the thing I like about his poise, he has every throw in his arsenal. I've seen him make every throw on film. I know a couple of people who've trained him, who've been around him. The guy's a proven leader. The guy's a guy who is ripped to capacity. From those are Kirby's words right there. I sent Doug to Kirby a few days ago, and he said, hey, this guy's all of 230, and he is ripped. And he's going to need that in the SEC. And the one thing I like about him is he can take a pounding. Now, at Wake Forest last year, he carried the ball 180 times. Now, some of that is, you know, scrambling and all that kind of stuff. That's still a lot, and his body was able to hold up. Now, I know Georgia won't ask him to do that, but just knowing he has the ability to do that is one of those things I know they're going to be fascinated about. But this guy can make every throw. He's strong, he's a proven leader, and he's played in some big-time college games. Now, the atmosphere is going to be a little different from what he's used to week in and week out, but that's why this guy's a grad transfer. He's already graduated, very smart kid, as we know, coming from Wake Forest. I think he'll be ready for this moment, and he understands he has this 1 year to seize it.
GJ, we know what's down the road for Georgia in the 2021 class at QB. Is JT Daniels an insurance policy?
Oh, absolutely. You look at where he was coming off when he went into his sophomore year. Obviously, we saw him play as a freshman, but that sophomore season, that first game of the year, we ended up getting hurt versus Fresno State. He was completing 77% of his passes. He was throwing it all over the yard. You can tell he was getting more comfortable. And obviously, the ACL, he has to have time to come off that and be healthy. But this is a guy I think down the road, Georgia fans are going to be really excited about. But most importantly, he's going to be in a dogfight because they have a crop of guys that are already there and that's coming in that's going to be competing for that starting job in that 21 season. He is absolutely a guy that you can hope and pray that hope Jamie makes it through the entire season. You won't need him, so you can redshirt him, and now you got him for another 3-4 years. But if, hey, you need him in one of those crunch games where, hey, you have to step in and play an entire game, or you need a big-time moment, I think he'll be ready for it.
DJ Shockley joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I know that when you get on the SEC Network, you got to play it down the middle, but I'll just tell you right now, the only thing I'll ever give Florida credit for is its state being a cesspool as far as their football team. They're getting a lot of love in the preseason. Is that love deserved in your mind when it comes to the SEC East race?
Yeah, I think rightfully so. I mean, Florida last year, 11-2, 6-2 in the SEC. They have a quarterback coming back from Kyle Trask, who nobody expected to play to the caliber he did. You saw him go on the road in a couple tough environments, especially in LSU, and play really well. When you started that position, it always gives you a chance. And the way Dan Mullen goes about his business, the way he recruits, the way his teams have played in his third and fourth years in this new system, Florida is a guaranteed threat in the SEC. They played strong physical football. On the other side of the ball, Todd Grantham, the defense coordinator, they get after you on that side of the ball. They bring the house at you. So they make a lot of people uncomfortable on that side of the ball. Of course, they're losing some guys on that D-line who, you know, they led the SEC in sacks last year, but they recruited really well. Dan Mullen is one of the top coaches in all of the country. Florida is a team that you have to worry about. They were right there in the thick of it last year if it wasn't for Georgia in the Georgia-Florida game. But this is a team that when you look at them from top to bottom, they're just as talented as anybody else in the country. It's about Dan Mullen getting those guys over the hump and winning those big games, which is the Georgia game.
Shock, the pandemic has kind of leveled the playing field in the conference. I know that everybody kind of feels like they're starting from behind because of not having spring and also having limited workouts. And some places are shut down right now, others aren't. There's social distancing, all these other protocols. Is there a team out there in your mind that's going to benefit that might not have otherwise because of the fact that there really is no edge to be gained when it comes to the coronavirus pandemic?
Yeah, you know what? When I look on the other side of the conference, obviously, you know, Alabama, Nick Saban's going to have his team ready to go. Question marks, Mac Jones, he the guy. LSU, Miles Brennan trying to replace Joe Burrow, obviously, is a big talking point. But one team that I think is sneaky, that a lot of people have to really kind of take a long, hard look at, is Texas A&M. Texas A&M under Jimbo Fisher, it'll be the third year. You got Kelly Mond. And his third year under that system, played really well last year down the stretch. They had a brutal schedule last year where they played the top four teams in the country. But Texas A&M had 19 guys returning on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. So this is a team that understands they've been in the fire, but now they have played together. They got more veteran leadership on that football team. And Jimbo Fisher will get the most out of his players. I guarantee that. I remember calling one of their games last year. And the passion that he coaches with and the things that they go through on a weekly basis, this is a team that is designed to put a lot of pressure on people on that west side. Texas A&M is a team that I think a lot of people have to look at real hard and say, this is a team that will be competing and will be in the thick of it when the season starts simply because of how many guys they have returning and the leadership within that group.
DJ Shockley, you see his stuff with the Georgia Bulldog camp. You see him on Bulldog Saturday. I'm sorry I made you say nice things about the Gators.
It's all good, man. You know, sometimes I put my unbiased hat on so that I can, you know, speak some truth. So it's all good, man. Everybody knows what my allegiance lies with my dog, so it's all good.
Well, you can put the red and black on now. Be safe. Be easy, buddy.
I will. Appreciate you, man.
That is DJ Shockley. Always love hearing him and hearing his unique perspective. And again, he keeps it real. As you know, we want to hear the truth. We want to hear the good, but we also want to hear the truth. And I think he does both quite well. There are players who are starting to opt out in one of the big pro leagues. What does that mean? And also, what does the Braves' 56-man roster look like? We'll dive into that coming up next. Willie P. in for John Chuckery. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. Willie P. is in a building in for John Chuckery. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. On Twitter, at Willie P. Style. Let me know what you're sipping on, especially when we get to the final hour of the show, which is, of course, the Brown Liquor Hour. Now, I understand we probably are all under some different rules. I'm not gonna dry snitch on anybody. But is it customary that John samples some brown liquor during that last hour, Jarvis? Is that acceptable, or is that we call that uncouth or gauche? Find that a little gauche, I'm sure.
I cannot confirm or deny that statement.
wuss. You're a wuss.
I mean, you know, like, yeah, when in the 10 o'clock hour, I can answer that question. It's too early to answer that question right now.
I understand.
Yeah,
I understand.
You see what I'm saying?
I got
people
you.
Listening to the show.
I'm aware of safe harbor hours and the way they work.
Indeed.
Is there a stand that you have, whether it's with your wife or your girlfriend? Because I have a couple of very feckless legs that I stand on with certain things that have really no importance whatsoever, other than just I'm obstinate and I've always done things this way. And sometimes they stand in perpetuity, and other times they might have to go away. Like one of them I'm experiencing right now. And again, it's not that I don't love my at-home setup. The at-home setup is great. I have access to all the snacks. I have access to anything I possibly could drink outside of my fridge, including soda, water, and soda water, et cetera, and so on. But the one thing that I have here that I don't have at the radio station, or that I don't have here that I have at the radio station, is a working mouse. Now, the thing about the ThinkPad that I have here is that it's a great, durable, awesome computer. The problem is the condensation builds up on the trackpad like no other. And it's not because of any other reason other than I don't like going heavy with the AC or the fan in here, because you can hear it based on my thing, because the mic that I have picks up everything. And the last thing that I want is, you know, me to sound like I'm, you know, Mr. Breathy doing like an ASMR video here with you, like we're talking to Falcons. You know, like I don't want you hearing that in the background. So I get the condensation build up here, and my girlfriend is big on, if she has a laptop, she has to have the wireless mouse with it, which I've always found to be somewhat of a false hustle. I might have to relent and buy a wireless mouse now. You realize that, and this is going to hurt me. I understand, and you know this, Jarvis, as somebody who has spent 9 years with the very awesome woman that you have in your life. This might be a battle I have to lose, and I really badly want to hold this line, but it's going to be very, very difficult for me.
Oh, you've already lost.
Yeah, oh, is that it?
Oh, yeah, you've lost. Yeah, it's a wrap. You should go buy it. Just order it on baby. Amazon, and just keep moving, man. Kiss the baby, man.
If there's one thing that I have become very much in touch with the Amazon delivery stuff, and here's my problem, and this was made for me and not anybody else. Like, never before in my life did I need to know how to track my delivery as it's going, and UPS has picked up on this, and a couple others have done so as well. Like, I've never needed to track my package until before that technology actually existed, and now that technology exists, I am upset when I don't have it. But here's the problem. I will sit there on my phone and hit refresh, 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 refresh. It's something that I didn't think I needed before ever. And being socially quarantined, socially distanced, you know, the Amazons have gone up. The DoorDashes have gone up. The UPSs have gone up. I almost got into a bit of a tizzy when it came to a particular order that was coming out of UPS that finally actually got resolved, thank goodness. But yeah, I never thought I needed that. And I almost wish they took it away, because I probably waste more time doing that now whenever I order something, and it just kind of passes the time by. Because we have no damn sports. Like, that is sports for me right now. That's part of the reason why I get so ticked off at people as they wear a mask so that I can stop ordering unnecessary crap on Amazon and just sit there tracking the delivery car all day.
I mean, the one thing you got to look at it, though, like, we have nothing but time, right? We have a lot more time on our hands than we had before. And
you better believe it.
When you look, think about that actual, those actions, right? Think about all that. Kind of put it in the bubble. Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, excuse me. Excuse the pun. but when you.
Very nice. Very nice. When effectively you, trolled there, Jarvis.
Right. You know, I try every now and then. it's just amazing, like. It's an amazing feature. Like, when you think about, okay, it's being dropped off, it's being shipped, it's in the truck, it's on the way. You know, just like Uber Eats the same way. Oh, I can actually literally look at the car, come down my street, and then get a notification that they are in my driveway. Oh, yeah, by the way, go ahead and leave it at the door. Don't even worry about ringing the doorbell. Yeah. take a picture of it, let me know it's there, and then wait for me to come out and pick it up. You know, it's just like, I was just so happy throughout that process. So when you think about waiting on that package, like tracking your package, you know, pause, you know, it just really just makes you feel like you're a part of the process. Because I can't go outside and go to the gym and go do what I want to do normally. So this is my sport. This is the sport of tracking packages. It's exactly. A track package. Track Patrick Network right now. Exactly. That's what I'm subscribed to.
And not only that, but like, I know UPS has this. They have like three deals there where they've got like, it's on the truck, and then it's in your area. And then it has almost there. And like, in your area is a very ambiguous term. Like, in your area could either mean right outside your door or just in your region of town. Like, I've had in my area, again, to give you an idea, I'm in Midtown. I've had in your area be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So like, no, that's not my area. You're nowhere close. And then 5 minutes later, it's, you know, it's at the Midtown Publix. Like, again, there's no rhyme or reason. Anyway, I'm probably going to have to do another sporting event, aka buy a mouse, just to satisfy our lack of sports, and that's kind of how I transitioned into some of the chatter over the last couple of days involving baseball, which was the opting out of players. The first one who came out and opted out was Arizona Diamondbacks right-hander Mike Leake. One thing that is an advantageous thing for him is that he is right on the cusp when it comes to service time of getting his major league pension. So even if he decides to not come back, he's able to collect on that. He will not collect the $5 million he was promised this year by Arizona. But the biggest, I think, earth-shattering one for a lot of people was Ryan Zimmerman, who has young kids, and I believe also a spouse inside the healthcare industry that he wants to help protect. And I'll just come out and say it right now. I do not fault anybody, whether you are high risk or not, for making a business decision, and not only a business decision, but a health-related decision when it comes to not wanting to put yourself on the line. And you know what? It's not that I don't find it selfish, but this is probably the appropriate time to be selfish. Like, it's, I know that some people will say, oh, well, you know, you're paid to do a job. You got to go do a job. That's all well and good. And I know that some might try to spin this in a way that makes it look like, oh, this is just the kind of fallout that is coming as a result of what we saw happen over the course of the last couple of months between Major League Baseball and its players. But what I'll say is, you know what? I don't even, if they were giving me my full salary, I'd have a hard time. And by full salary, I mean the 162 game number, not the 60 game number. If they weren't giving me the 162 game number, you know, as far as I'm concerned, peace out. And keep in mind, too, Major League Baseball already advanced them $170 million spread out over, of course, all those players. But a lot of those guys kind of already got their share for the year. So some of the guys on the minimum area aren't going to be making that much more money over the course of the next 2 months. And if you're talking about, and again, I know this is all more money than you or I make, but when you think about what these guys have to live off of, and when you're thinking about jeopardizing your earning potential for the future, I would be thinking more than twice or three times about whether or not I'd be wanting to put my neck on the line involving getting the Rona. And make no mistake about it, I'm kind of the mind that bubble, no bubble, you know, I kind of find it, I don't want to say laughable, because laughable makes it sound insensitive, but I have a hard time buying how, I'll say it this way, the science behind a lot of these protocols is kind of confusing, and it's clouded under the, you know, it's clouded by the fact that the only reason we're doing this is because if we don't do this, we're going to lose money. We're going to lose earning potential. Like, the reason we're playing these games, the reason we're playing these sports is because we need to make money. We need to produce a product. And, you know, that's the one thing where, you know, people were saying, oh, well, is the product going to be legitimate? Is it not? Is it what? You know, I've said, and I said this on Friday, when it comes to for baseball, I'm not exactly one who looks at this season and sees a lot of legitimacy in it. But Tyler Flowers says, you know, for the players, it's all going to be the same for them.
You know, is a high school season or a college season any less legit based upon the number of games they play? I don't think so. Maybe some people do, but, you know, for me, we're all playing the same amount of games. So that's going to determine who's the best team in that period of time. And you know, unfortunately, we don't really have a choice on how many games we play. So that's what we all got. And I think everyone's going to be just as anxious to get out the gates running and hopefully solidify themselves in the playoff spot and then keep rolling from there. I think the champagne and everything is going to feel just the same.
That was Tyler Flowers, Braves catcher, on Friday. And the other part of this, and again, I don't know how these stereotypes come to pass. Again, I know they apply to some people, select people in certain sports, but I don't know why baseball players as a blanket get impugned with this stereotype that they're all of a sudden there's more hooliganry that goes along with them than anybody else. Like, again, if it comes down to earning potential, if it's me, I'm doing everything I possibly can to take these protocols seriously. And Tyler Flowers is somebody who's not exactly a big moneymaker, says, heck yeah, I'm going to be social distancing. So, I mean, in that regard, I just look at it and I say, come on, you know, it's common sense. If this is going to keep me from earning money, and again, I know that they'll still get paid if they get the virus, but at the same time, it's like there's got to be some accountability and some policing of themselves, and that's one thing baseball and these other sports are banking on. But you best believe that there's going to be sympathy, but there's going to be people being like, you know, they'll know when someone gets it just by circumstance, and others who are, I don't want to say asking for it, but those who were not doing their part to try and maintain those procedures, in a manner of speaking. Willie P. in the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. In for John Chuckery. We'll talk Falcons next. I kind of did a little bit on this last when I joined you on Friday. Will we judge the Falcons differently because of everything that's been taken away from this offseason, namely mini camps and all those types of things, or is it still playoffs or bust? Well, it's just out next with Jarvis when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.